You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
So I have the honor of giving you an introduction to this scripture passage. And I chose Ecclesiastes because it's one of my favorite books of poetry in the whole wide world. Do any of you enjoy books of poetry? A couple of you. How many of you, poetry just makes your blood boil? Like, you're like, oh God, no. I have a boss who hates poetry. So when I come into his office and I'm like, here is, you know, a piece of poetry that I found so meaningful today. He's like, yeah, don't share that with me. Ecclesiastes, as this book of poetry, contains this material that is meant to draw out questions for us. And it gives us space for instruction, to listen to that instruction that speaks to the depth of our hearts. And it gives us space for self, community, and communal reflection. The literature poses and explores questions related to the nature of human life. I'm sure you can think of a million questions about that. Our relationship to God, God's relationship to humanity, questions about meaning and ultimate purpose. And like most poetry, what is written in Ecclesiastes is really meant to evoke these kind of pools of reflection and thought and contemplation beyond the primary experience of hearing the verse. So you'll hear these repetitive sayings again and again that are meant to draw you ever deeper into remembrances and times in your own life where these resonate with meaning for you. These scriptures invite us to draw parallels and think of the stories in our own lives that have taken place. And I love the poem we are using today because it expresses something that I think is a deep truth about human life. We only know something fully by experiencing both what it is and what it is not. So something like being a mother, we also know because we are not mothers. Something like tearing down, we know because we have been through the experience of building up. An action or an expression like grief, we know because we have felt joy. Mother's Day is part of what I consider this beautiful tradition of honoring the women who give birth to us, the women who raise us, the women who mentor us. And relationships to mothers are complex. Do any of you have an uncomplicated relationship with the mothering figure of your life? Okay, good. We do have one or two. My relationship with my mother is intensely complicated, and I have worked with a number of people who find today rather challenging because of the complex nature of mothering relationships. This is far more complex than those simple pink and red verses that you can find in the Hallmark card section. Any of you shop there this week? Blah! Terrible poetry. No, violets are red and roses are green and you're my mother, which is something that means I can't finish this rhyme because I'm a terrible greeting card writer. Mother's Day and its meaning are tied to what we remember and also what we hope for, what we have experienced, and the mystery of God that is at work in our lives. And these remembrances and hopes and experiences are all part of how we mark time. And this Ecclesiastes passage invites us to reflect on those markers throughout our life of time. So as you hear this verse today, perhaps notice how these verses have marked time in your own life. Times when you have experienced what this poem is describing.
For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. What gain have the workers from their toil? I have seen the business that God has given to everyone to be busy with. He has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, he has put a sense of past and future into their minds. Yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God. Okay, so David had told me a couple of weeks ago that one of the things that happens is I get to pull up really cool slides and show them to you to evoke images that make you think deeply about the scripture passage, and I totally forgot that he asked me to do that. So today, instead of using images, what I'd like to do is use a series of questions and invite you into conversation with each other. Obviously, church is about what we need to participate in, what God is calling us to do. So if you're like, actually, I don't want to talk to my neighbor, that is okay. It is all right. And if you are kind of a neighbor who's not getting conversation, just feel free to shift and move. It's all right. Church is about moving and change, right? So the other thing I'm going to ask is that you forgive me for using my laptop. I haven't preached in about 6 months, so I'm a little rusty, and I threw this together a couple of hours ago. So we've had a ton of stuff going on at the conference office. It's a busy time. Next week's going to be awesome. There won't be a laptop. So cliffhanger, come back. But the first question I want to draw you into is I'd like you to go ahead and take in your guide that you got today, you will see that the words for this poem, for this piece of scripture, are there. And I would like you to take a moment to reflect in groups of twos up to four, and I'm only going to give you 2 minutes for this, so be brief. I'd like you to take a moment to reflect on which of these pieces of scripture best speak to your experience of Mother's Day. Does that make sense? Which pieces of scripture best speak to your experience of Mother's Day? Okay, everyone willing? Are some of you willing to give this a try? All right, go ahead and turn to the person next to you and share with them which scripture best speaks to your experience of Mother's Day. Okay, so I'm going to call us back together, knowing that the conversation is always ongoing, and we will always have time for more conversation till we don't. Dark. So what I'm curious about is, what scripture is speaking to you this morning? Which verse? Does anyone feel courageous enough to share which verse is most resonant with them today? Yes. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. Amen, sister. How many of you, that was the resonant one for you? Okay, there were a couple of you. All right, how about another one? Anyone want to share another one? Yes. Ooh, a time to love and a time to hate. Any of you have one of those love-hate relationships? Any of you find that scripture be the one speaking to you this morning? Awesome, okay. All right, my sister, yes. A time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together. How many of you, that was your resonant verse? Okay, a couple of you. All right, yes, my sister.
A time to break down and a time to build up.
Oh, a time to break down and a time to build up. How many of you resonated with that one? Yeah, excellent. So here's my next, you want to share one more? I kind of want the story, right? Yeah.
It's important to understand. I come from a family of 11 kids.
Mm-hmm.
The war were the 11 kids. My mom was the
kid. The war was the 11 kids. The peace was the mother. That's awesome. So the next question that I would like to ask for you is, in this contemplation of mothering relationships and this scripture verse, I'd like you to take a moment to share with your conversation friend what you do to mark time, significant time. Maybe it is with your family. Maybe you have a family tradition. Maybe you have a tradition with your mom. Maybe all you do to mark time is look at your watch once a day or set your iPhone, whatever it is. How do you mark significant time? Does that question kind of make sense? Okay. Okay, I'm going to draw you back together, knowing that the conversation is always ongoing. So how do you mark significant time as an individual in your family? What did you guys share with each other? Anyone want to give a shout out? Yes.
We have a family reunion every couple of years.
Family reunion every couple of years. Yeah. How many of you mark time with family reunions? Okay, a couple of you. Do you know my family does not do family reunions? We just figure that that would be dangerous for everyone. So we do kind of like interspersed meetings with different sides of the family. If we were all to ever come together, we don't even come together for weddings and funerals. Like, that's how significant the conflict is at the upper levels of my family. So I am always envious of people who mark time with reunions. Did I see your hand? There, oh. That's very cool. So you do a calendar on a master sheet, and you can see all those significant events. That is very... Wow, how many of you do that? You mark events on a calendar and kind of keep record of what's going on. Yeah, okay, very cool. Anything else? I know I've been ignoring this side and this side. Anyone on these sides want to... Yes. Oh, that's genius. Tell me more about how you use those sticky notes. That's right. So you're sitting there shaving and you're like, oh, yep, that's a significant thing happening today. Sticky notes. I love sticky notes. They've got an app for that now. Yeah, right. It's not the same. How about this side? Anyone on this side want to share? Yeah. Yes. The school calendar is pretty packed too, isn't it? There's like entry to school and then in-service days and holidays and here's when you learn about this and this and this and then there's graduation and oh my gosh and registration again. How many of you have school-age kids or grandkids? A couple of you. How many of you know school-age kids or grandkids? Yeah, school calendar, excellent way of marking time. And of course, we as a church have a way of marking time. We have entered into the season of Easter, right? We have passed through the resurrection. And so what does it mean to hear this piece of scripture about the various times and seasons of life in the context of the resurrection, of a story that talks about God's ability to overcome all that kind of degrades and tears down and breaks apart, in a way that speaks of hope and life and recreation? And I've been really sitting with that because for me, Mother's Day is rather complicated holiday. I've already said that. I don't have kids. And every year around Mother's Day, the moms in my life were all like, so when are you going to have the babies? And I'm like, probably never. Stop asking. And then it's also complicated because it reminds me of all the women that I've loved in my life. And many of them have moved on. They've died. I've lost them. Not lost forever, but that relationship has changed. So Mother's Day is complicated in that way. But one of the ways my family used to mark Mother's Day is my sister and I used to do something called Mom's Cafe, where we would make our mother a beautiful breakfast and like try to give it to her in bed or bring her into a beautiful place. Any of you do that for your mom or have your kids do that? Oh, good. Okay. So what I'd like to talk to you about today is the one that didn't go well. Because in our family reflections, this is the one that we tend to remember. But it speaks of the way that we interpret and translate and remember something moving forward through the lens of resurrection. So my sister and I were 5 and 7, and my father had died, so it was just my mom. And I got my sister up at 4 in the morning. I'm the older one, so I take full responsibility for what happens next. I go in, I'm like, Laura, wake up, wake up. She wakes up. We troop out into the garden, which is dripping wet with dew. It's freezing cold. It's still dark. And we're cutting flowers, all of Mom's geraniums, all of Mom's prize roses, all of Mom's flowers. We cut all of them and brought them into the house. And then we took scotch tape and we taped these flowers to every wall. We climbed up on a ladder and taped them to the fan. We taped them to the ceiling. We taped them on counters and chairs. I mean, friends, it was a garden. We had brought the garden inside. It was so cool. But it had never occurred to us that maybe the easier and more ecologically friendly and ultimately better for our relationship with Mom in the garden might have been to just have the breakfast outside, right? So here we are, we've created the garden, and then my sister's like, I'm gonna make pancakes. Now, 5-year-olds do not make pancakes. If you have a 5-year-old making a pancake, please, adult supervision, because a 7-year-old is not an adult. I was like, okay, Laura, you can make pancakes. I'll set the table. So I'm like setting the table, and there's egg flying everywhere, right? She's like, there's something crunchy in the eggs. I'm like, oh, I'm sure it's fine. Just texture. Enjoy, right? No problem. And here we are. We've got the blueberry pancake batters getting mixed, and I'm getting the table all set. It's going to look really nice in the garden. And suddenly I hear a whoosh, ah! My sister lets out this like little tiny 5-year-old shriek. And I turn around and there's like flames jumping off the stove because she's just dropped the big glass thing, a pancake batter, onto the stove, right? And now there are the pancake, instead of being a pancake, is a fire. It's a fire blueberry pancake. This is not something you can sell. And I'm like grabbing a pitcher of water, throwing it on the electric stove. You're not supposed to do that. And the smoke detectors start going off because there's smoke everywhere. And we turn the stove off and we turn on the fans to try to air out the house. And of course, remember what's on the fans and all of our walls. And the ceiling and the floors and the counters, and suddenly there's this swirling storm of petals in the midst of this fiery pancake nightmare. And my sister and I are standing there like covered in just flower carnage and eggs and blueberry pancakes, and we hear from down the stairs, hey girls, is everything okay? Hey Mom, happy Mother's Day, we say in chorus, and my mom comes up the stairs, and she kind of surveys the mess, true carnage and desolation of this Mother's Day experience, and you can see her face go through all the ranges of emotion that are possible here, right? She's, for a moment, she's furious, and then she's kind of confused, and then she's like, wait, what just happened? And then suddenly she just full on belly laughs. And she says, well, I'm sure this didn't go as you were planning, but it certainly will be the most memorable Mother's Day I've ever had. And it was in that moment that I learned how we can choose to interpret what's happening. My mom, at that young age of 5 and 7, man, she could have grounded us, right? We destroyed the kitchen. We destroyed her garden. We made a huge mess. We woke her up at midnight. We cooked on a stove as children. And instead of being furious with us, she chose to take that moment and say, wow, I'm never going to forget this. Neither will you. So sometimes around Mother's Day, we kind of mark this day in my family by eating blueberry pancakes. No matter where we are, we take pictures of them and say, it's better than when we were 5 and 7. And it speaks to the deep truth of what it means to see something through that lens of resurrection, right? Life throws at us all kinds of things, and we've spoken about that. This is a season of change. You guys, if you're anything like the churches I've served in the past, summer is a time when people leave. We are a denomination in change. How many of you know about that, right? We are a people experiencing a time of turmoil and turbulence globally and in our country that I think is rather unprecedented. And we, in our own individual lives, are experiencing change. The change of aging, the change of living, the change of losing loved ones, the change of opening to new types of adventure we can't even imagine. And what this passage in Ecclesiastes calls us to do from that resurrection lens is to know that God is present in those moments, that God is touching that deep nature of who we are, and it then becomes our responsibility to choose to mark time through what God is doing, to mark time as a people experiencing the world through a lens of hope, through a lens of rebuilding. So what does it mean to experience war and peace in that lens of Christ rising again, of God conquering even death itself to bring us into new relationship? And I close our reflection this morning with something that my mother always used to say. I'm sure it's a famous saying somewhere that one of you will tell me who quoted it, but life is what happens while you're making plans. And so as you are living in your life and making your plans, I hope that you will choose to mark time with that hopeful spirit of, wow, God, I'm always going to remember this one. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information on our faith community, or to support this outreach with a donation, be sure to visit us online at www.reachtouchteach.com.